Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Vicki Ward. She is a New York Times bestselling author and a journalist, and she's out with her new book, Kushner, Inc., Greed, Ambition, Corruption, The Extraordinary Story of Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump. Vicki, these two individuals, Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, are influenced by where they came from. So when you look at the Kushner family and the Trump family, how do their businesses compare or how are they different?
So, I think that, you know, the interesting thing is they're very similar, Brian. Both of these 30-something-year-olds are really, really controlled by their parents and their parents' businesses. I think that, you know, Jared Kushner's mission in life has really been to avenge what happened to his father back in 2004 and rehabilitate the Kushner family name. You know, in my book I talk about there was a three-point plan when Charlie Kushner went to jail. And he went to jail, in case your listeners don't know, for, among other things, tax fraud, illegal campaign contributions, and then a particularly nasty sting, witness tampering, but that was really setting up his brother-in-law with a prostitute and filming it and sending it to his sister. It was extremely sordid and scandalous. And a New York public relations guru suggested that in order to rehabilitate the name, that they should sell everything, all the property they owned in New Jersey, and buy a trophy building in New York. That Jared, who was then only in his, you know, early 20s, should buy a newspaper, buy a media outlet, partly to control the media, but partly to put him into the sort of upper echelons of New York society. And then the third point of the plan was have Jared date someone prominent. So you have to, I mean, when you look at what happened, the plan worked beautifully, except for one thing, and that, you know, the fact that the trophy building they bought at the top of the market right before the crash with 97% leverage would mean that as Donald Trump, now Jared's father-in-law, starts running for president, the Kushners have got a real financial problem. They've got until February 19th to find a way to pay off a $1.4 billion loan. And that's not their only issues. There are all hundreds and hundreds of millions of back taxes involved. So you have to look at everything Jared Kushner does in that framework. And I think the other thing that's really important to understand about the cultures that both Jared and Ivanka come from is that they really sort of don't believe that rules apply to them. There is a notion that wealth can buy your way out of anything. I mean, Jared certainly doesn't look back at what happened to his father and think that what the FBI did, what Chris Christie, then the U.S. attorney, did, was right. He thinks that his family had a private squabble and that the government had no business being anywhere near it. And both he and Ivanka do believe, as she herself has written, that perception is more important than reality. They do believe, because of, you know, how the Kushners were so successfully able to reposition themselves after Charlie's jail sentence. And Ivanka, because she's sort of studied at the feet of her father, they do believe that they can message their way out of anything. So I think you have to look at them in that context when you consider them in government.
What do you think their transition was like, just personally, from New York to Washington? And what do they have to gain by being so closely involved in the White House as it pertains to their individual businesses?
So, right. So, I wish I could say to you, I think they've evolved enormously. They've, you know, completely changed, but I don't think they've changed at all. And that's the problem. You know, you saw the very first week of the transition, you saw Ivanka go on television with her family, where for CBS for 60 Minutes, right? And then the next day, viewers were told that they could buy her bangle for $10,000. And although someone from her fashion line apologized after that, somebody senior in the transition said to me, yes, but you can't unsee it. The damage has been done. And in the same way that Jared was, you know, put himself in charge of foreign outreach in the transition, and a lot of his colleagues were sort of mystified as to where he actually was during the transition. You know, Gary Cohn, the senior economic advisor, had an office right next to him and kept sort of scratching his head because he could see where the president-elect was, but he couldn't see where Jared was, and he asked his assistant, and his assistant kept saying, well, I don't know either. He's in meetings marked secret on his calendar. And, you know, on January 9th, right before the inauguration, the New York Times broke the story that, in fact, on the first weekend of the transition, Jared had been meeting with a major Chinese insurance firm with his father to try to solve this financial problem of 666 Fifth Avenue. And then within the same sort of two-week time span, he was hosting the Chinese government at Kushner Company's offices. So, I mean, this is, you know, this is the beginning of a series of major conflicts which culminate in April, with Jared actually closing the White House visitors logs. At the time, we were all told that that was for security reasons. But in fact, it was to hide Jared's frenetic networking. He was busy getting loans for his father's company, or meeting with people whose firms, rather, gave loans to his father's company. But he also met with the CEO of a company that he, you know, that there was an investor in a business that Jared still had stock in and hadn't disclosed. So on and on. I mean, and then we get to the very dangerous way he ran Middle East policy, you know, not looping in the National Security Council, almost bringing us to the brink of war. You know, partly out of entitlement and partly out of just naivety and dealing with the region. But the, you know, the Rex Tillerson and James Mattis, certainly the first summer of the administration, thought that Jared and Ivanka went from being annoying to being downright dangerous. I mean, Jared had pushed for the president to make his first U.S. official visit to be to Saudi Arabia. Rex Tillerson and James Mattis knew about MBS, the future crown prince of Saudi Arabia at that point, knew about his brutal reputation. They were extremely concerned. And then the Saudis made a mockery of the whole thing 10 days later by blockading a rival that's much richer than them, Qatar, the country, because they wanted its resources, basically. But what Tillerson, who had to rush from Australia to the region to try and sort things out, what Tillerson was concerned about was that Qatar has an American airbase. That's our security in the region. And he also knew that the Saudis would never have dared do anything like this without talking to the White House. And he knew that the person who was in charge of that relationship was Jared Kushner, and that Jared would have given the green light. So this is really frightening stuff.
All right, the book is Kushner, Inc. It's by Vicki Ward, and it's available now wherever your fine books are sold. Read about the extraordinary story of Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, the son-in-law and daughter of the President of the United States. Vicki, just a very interesting book here. Thanks for putting it out, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.